prayer is conflict on behalf of God. We are fighting. We're in a warfare. So we've seen what? Prayer is for worship. Prayer is for work. Prayer is for witness. But prayer is for warfare.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor at Christ Bible Church in Chicago. We're in a series of messages entitled The ABCs of Prayer. And last time we began a message, prayer as a weapon of warfare. And pastors, we just heard you say, prayer is for warfare. But explain what you mean by that. Warfare against what and how?
Well, in Ephesians, part of the passage that we'll be looking at, it talks about warring against our enemy, the devil. And so we have these three enemies. We have our internal enemy, the flesh. We have our external enemy, the world. We have our infernal enemy, the devil. When we look at their design, it is to destroy us. And so what does God do? He gives us prayer as a weapon. So in Ephesians 5:18, it says, praying with all in the spirit. And so God says, put on the whole armor of God, and don't forget that part of that armor is prayer. And so we use it as a weapon.
All right. So how does the believer then use prayer as a weapon against the world, the flesh, and the devil?
Well, each one has a different strategy. So, for example, he tells us that we have to fight the devil. That's James chapter 4, 6 through 8. Fight the devil. He tells us that we have to flee the flesh, 2 Timothy 2:22, and he tells us that we have to faith the world, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's part B of the verse. And so each one of those, now as I'm praying, I have the scripture telling me what I need to do in my supplication. So when I come against the devil, I'm going to fight him, resist him. I'm going to use scripture to come against him in prayer. When you look at what the Lord Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, he fought them with the same weapons.
He quoted scripture to the devil in his time of temptation. And for the person who is facing temptation, spiritual warfare, that just reminds me that it's really important for us to be in the Word, to be knowing the Bible and what it says so we can do battle.
We better. I mean, that's our weapon.
Yeah.
D.L. Moody said this way, that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And so we need to know it. Here's what Paul said. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But if you have a 50 caliber machine gun and I only have a 22 pistol, but you don't know how to use your 50 caliber machine gun, I'm going to win with an inferior weapon. And that's what's happening to a lot of believers. We have superior weaponry. We're just not aware of it. We're just not utilizing it. And Satan's taking us out with a cap pistol.
Well, we are going to be looking at how we do yield that weapon of prayer in Ephesians chapter 6. So I hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we continue the message, prayer as a weapon of warfare. Here's Pastor Ford.
So there are times, I don't know about you, when I don't want to pray, because, you know, you pray when you feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it until you do feel like it. And so there are times I go into his presence and say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But I'm coming because I do love you. So tune my heart to sing thy grace, and almost without fail, before I know it, something comes into my mind. Like, you could be in your grave. You could be in the crazy house, because you are crazy. You could be in the hospital. You could be anywhere other than, and then all of a sudden I get glad to be there. Thank you, Lord. You woke me up this morning. You didn't have to do it. You know, the old preacher, you know. Thank God that my bed wasn't my cooling board, and my sheet wasn't my winding sheet, and the two sides of my bed wasn't my grave, or whatever it is. You know how they say it. I don't know. But all that, you know, thank you. You know, and I get happy. And then the first thing I do is, here's what I like to do. I'm just sharing my devotions. Then I start singing to him. You know, I start singing. You know, And I say to myself, and I say, you know, it's amazing, because sometimes I'll sing and I'll just break out laughing. And then I'll say, God, only you could appreciate this. Especially, you know, you start, I love you, Lord. Wow. So then, it's what? Prayer is communion. So then, Father, we address, remember, 15 times in 6 books in the Old Testament, but 250 times in 25 books of the Old Testament. I mean, New Testament. So there's only one book where he's not addressed as Father. Anybody know what it is? That's right, 3 John. So then prayer is what? Communion. Then secondly, communication. That's right, communication. And so it is, we speak to him, he speaks to us. And some of the problem is some of us don't give him the opportunity to speak to us at all.
Wow.
It's a monologue, not a dialogue. And I like what one sister said. It was a Bible study a couple years ago. She raised her hand. She said, I said, yeah. She said, Pastor, you always hear these people talking about the Lord told me to tell. The Lord told me to tell. Don't he ever tell anybody to shut up? I said, he sure does, but they don't listen. You know, Psalm 46:1, be still and take a chill pill, right? Be still and know that I am God. So then prayer is communication, prayer is conversation. What's the third word? Prayer is commitment to God. So then we are saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm committed to you. Getting on my knees says that I have his agenda and not my agenda. So fourthly, then prayer is what? Cooperation with God. What a privilege you and I have of being able to be included in the divine plan. Do you realize you're an integral part of the divine plan? Now, when you hear this again, don't act like you didn't hear it, you know, because y'all hear stuff that they don't hear on Sunday. So when I say it on Sunday, y'all saying, he just told us that on Wednesday. But I told you, I was supposed to say it on Sunday, but I can't keep it. So I was in devotion this morning, and so I'm doing my little study, and so I'm in James 1:22, where it says, be ye doers of the word. I said, oh, my goodness. Crisis a lot. Jesus! Because I'm studying the word doers. And I said, Oh Lord Jesus. Let me erase this thing. Let me show you what this word is. It is amazing. I tell you, it is amazing. It is the word poietes, from which we get the word poet. Now, you may recognize it because Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, is derived from this word, but workmanship, poiementes, is the word from which we get the word poem. So poem and poet. So then I'm studying this word, and be you doers. So I'm thinking, just do it. Nike, just do it. Why does he use a word poet and translate it do? Because he's not only just telling us to obey it, he is saying this word literally means to creatively apply the word of God. To creatively. So here's what I did this morning after I did my study. And I said, oh Lord, this is powerful stuff. Not just do it, but take the word and be creative. And so I said, Lord, bless me today. Let me see this fleshed out today. Now, I'm going to confess, I was just like Rhoda. I didn't think I was going to see it as soon as I saw it. So I got up, had dropped my wife off, and I was on my way back. I said, oh, we don't have any meat. And I stopped at Save-A-Lot. It was about 8 o'clock. And I said, okay, well, let me stop at Save-A-Lot. So I stopped at Save-A-Lot, and I got the meat, got a few other things. I said, you know, I better go ahead and get this Memorial Day stuff because my son going to want a barbecue. And, you know, if he going to work, I'm going to let him. And so, you know, he going to cook it all up. I'm going to let him. So I put it in there. And so I get in line. There's an elderly gentleman in front of me. And he says to the lady, I got $65. And once I reach that, cut the rest of this stuff off. And so my practice is, and it's been that way for a while, if I'm in line And there are individuals who need something. Like one lady forgot her money and said, okay, I left all my money at home. So I gave her the $35 to buy the food. Especially if they're senior citizens, I always reach in my pocket and I say, give them what they want. You know, and sometimes I'll just go and I'll see seniors in front of me and I'll say, I'm paying for what you got today. So just ring everything, put hers in a separate bag, but I'm paying for everything you got today. And then they'll say, what? And I'll say, yeah, the Lord wants to bless you. You know, Jesus, the one who died, was buried and rose again the third day. He just told me to bless you, you know? And so, and a lot of times they'll say, well, baby, that's my Jesus too, you know? And I'll say, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I want to buy some more. You forget anything? So he has about five items and he says, okay, I can't get these. Put these over there. I said, no, you get those, sir. You get those. I'll pay for them. Ring them up. There was nine something. I gave her a $10 bill. And he looked at me and he said, man, this ain't never happened. I ain't never seen this. He's about 67, 68? Yeah, 67, 68 years old. And well-dressed, Stacy Adams like I wear. But he had an earring in his ear, you know. Yeah. Old dude was jamming, man. So long story short, so the lady at the register says, I've been working here since it opened. I ain't never seen it either. I said, well, you know, it's Jesus Christ told me to do this. You know, the one who died, was buried, rose again the third day. So then he said, give me your number, young man, and I'll give you money back. I said, no, you can't rob me of my blessing. Right. No. I did this because the Lord told me to do this. And I don't think he picked up on that. So he packed his stuff, but he waiting. So I'm packing my stuff, and he said, what do you do? I said, you're not, because, you know, I wear Kangos. Kango, anybody familiar with Kango caps? Yeah. Okay, but I wear mine backwards. I'm old school, so I wear my logo showing. It's just, you know, when I was in high school, you know, that we rolled that way. You know, this is how we do it. You know, yeah. And so, you know, old school. So I go in, boom. You know, and so I said, I know I don't look like it, but I'm a pastor. And he said, you're a pastor? He said, yeah, you don't look like it. And so I said, yeah, but I am. He said, well, how long you been pastoring? I said, October will be 28 years. He said, 28 years? He said, where your church? I said, Christ Bible Church on the south southeast side. He looked, he stopped. He said, I've been set up. I said, excuse me? He said, you had a member that moved to Memphis and then and moved to Texas. And I'm thinking, Terrell Thomas, yeah, he just left, but I didn't know he went to Memphis. So I said, Terrell Thomas? He said, no, Saxon Spencer. He said, I've been set up. I said, really? He said, I'm his granddad. He said, you got my daughter over there, sitting right there. You got my daughter over there. She's been trying to get me. He said, all my grandbabies are over there. All my grandbabies are over. They've been trying to get me to come there for years. He said, I've been set up. He said, because when I tell her this, she's going to say, see, you got to come now. And so I call Sister McEwen. I said, you'll never guess what happened to me. And so I told her what happened. And she said, Pastor, you don't know. Even the way you were dressed, because he is, I said, I saw his earring. Like he don't play. I mean, so even the way you were dressed, God used it for him to listen to you because you look like you look. I buttoned it for Bible class, but. Oh, let me go get my Kango. Y'all gotta get that. Yeah. So anyway, so he's standing there and we're talking. And so he kept saying it. I've been set up. And I said, yes, you've been set up. I said, but listen, even if you don't come, all you're gonna hear is Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's what the Bible's all about, from Genesis to Revelation.
Boy, I like that. Really a succinct explanation of what the Bible is all about, how Jesus truly is the central figure. Well, we're listening to a message entitled Prayer as a Weapon of Warfare, part of a larger series, The ABCs of Prayer. And if you want to listen to this broadcast again, maybe you missed a portion of it, or you just want to go back and listen to previous messages in this series, come to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. You can stream programs through your computer. You can also download MP3s or order copies on CD. Again, our website address, treasuretruthradio.org. And just a quick reminder, Pastor Ford has written a number of books. You can click on the Books by Pastor Ford link when you come to the website and check out those different titles. Again, treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
And I said, I could not believe it. I studied a word, and I said a prayer about that word. And it was, I hadn't been gone an hour, and God said, let me show you what that word means. And then check this out. You know, we're studying at the 11:30 Bible study? We're studying the providence of God. We're still spending time on, and it came to pass. That's what we're talking about, how God serendipitously enters into human's affairs. It means just a dip of the serene when you don't think anything is happening, you don't think God is working. He's behind the scenes setting stuff up. And so I will, and then he told me, guess what he told me his name is? He said, my name is Johnny Bird. I said, oh, I can never forget your name. That's one of my road dogs, that's my homie. And I said, man, look at God. I'm telling you, well, look what happened to you. Go up there and witness you on Pastor Green, and on the very spot a guy gets killed, somebody comes to Christ. Man, only God sets stuff up like that. Only God. Give him praise and glory in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I felt a John Hagee coming on. Amen. So what do we see? What do we see? We see then that prayer then finally is what? It's cooperation with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's commitment to God. Hallowed be thy name. It's communion with God. It's conversation or communication with God. But then finally, this text tells us it is conflict on behalf of God. So then prayer is conflict on behalf of God. We are fighting. We're in a warfare. So we've seen what? Prayer is for worship. Prayer is for work. Prayer is for witness. But prayer is for warfare. Amen. So then let's look at our text, Ephesians 6:18. Now remember what's going on here. From Ephesians 6 verse 10 all the way to verse 19. We have spiritual warfare. Let me just walk you through it. You know this already. So we have our three enemies. Somebody give somebody the mic. Give me somebody other than you now, Elder. Name our three enemies. Name our three enemies. Name our three enemies. Okay, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we call them what? The world is our external enemy. The flesh is our internal enemy, and the devil is our infernal enemy. All right, so we have those three enemies. Now, I know some of you already got it, you heard it again, but you tell me, somebody tell me now, what are the weapons, the primary weapons that God has given us for each enemy? Raise your hand, get the mic, for each enemy. Go ahead. Okay, the Bible, and where in the Bible? Because we have, you know, the Bible is our ammunition, but it's specific. Some of it's machine gun, some of it's a 357 Magnum. I mean, you know, it's got all kind of weapons in here. So what do you do with each one? What do you do with the devil? Okay, you fight the devil. Yeah, so to resist him, what did Jesus do? Matthew 4. The devil came at him. He hit him with the word. He fought him with the word. He hit him with the word. So he doesn't like the word. So three strikes, you're out. So you fight the devil. What do you do with the flesh? You flee the flesh. 2 Timothy 2:22. flee also youthful lusts. So resist the devil, James 4, 6, and 7. What do you do with the world? Faith. You faith the world. 1 John 5, 4. This is the victory overcomes the world, even our faith. So then as we go through, let me just give you the outline real quick. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, he tells us about the energy for the warfare. So it's all about our warfare. So remember, the book of Ephesians is broken down. Our wealth in Christ, our walk in Christ, our warfare in Christ. So 1 through 3, our wealth in Christ. 4:1 through 6:9, our walk in Christ. 6:10 through the end, our warfare. So then, our warfare, so our creed, our conduct, our conflict. Everybody got that. Everybody remembers that. Belief, behavior, battle. So, in verse 10, he talks about the energy for the warfare. The energy for the warfare in verse 10. And remember, he uses three words for power. Kratos, iskouos, and dunamis. You ought to study that. It will blow you away. You will shout. When you see those three words and you study those three words, now, how many of you know to study them, you don't have to know Greek? Raise your hand. You know that. Okay, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you don't need to know Greek. Get you a Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. $3, Amazon.com. To get it shipped to you, going to cost you more than the book. I'm serious. Amazon Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. So you look up the word power, and it'll tell you all the words for power, and it'll tell you where the words are. You'll see all three, what is actually five words, but three of the five words are in verse 10. Kratos, iskouos, and dunamis. All three are in there. So iskouos speaks of power that you get from somebody's presence. That's why Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age."
Well, we're studying prayer as a weapon of warfare with Pastor James Ford Jr. here on Treasure Truth today. And if you missed the first portion of this message last week, you can find it online at treasuretruthradio.org. Well, Pastor Ford mentioned a Bible dictionary towards the end of today's message. You know, it's important that as we dig into God's Word on our own, we learn the right resources we can trust to help us understand what we read. And that's why I'm pleased to tell you that when you become a monthly partner by AutoGift at a level of $30 or more, you're entitled to a 50% discount on all the resources available from Moody Publishers. This includes the new Moody Bible Commentary put together by our own faculty, and even the new Unger's Bible Dictionary, similar to the one mentioned by Pastor Ford. Contact us today and become a monthly partner and begin to experience the benefits of this discount. Call us at 1-888-644-7660 or go online to treasuretruthradio.org. Again, for as long as you support Moody Radio on a monthly basis, books, Bibles, DVDs, and commentaries, the entire Moody Publishers archive are available at a 50% discount. These daily visits with Pastor Ford are made possible because men and women just like you step forward to give voluntarily, many times giving every single month. Become a monthly partner today when you call 888-644-7660 or go online to treasuretruthradio.org. I'm Steve Hiller. Our producers are Amy Rios, Mark Brutta, and Nathan McMillan. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.